It's time to enter the world of real estate in Oahu with Hawaii's only true real estate radio show, the Team Lally Real Estate Show. Grab a pen and get ready to take notes. For the next full hour, Hawaii's premier real estate leader, Adrienne Lally, and Attilio Leonardi will bring you the latest in real estate news and real-world strategies on how they can guarantee to sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, or they'll buy it. Now, here are your hosts, Adrienne and Attilio.
Welcome to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, or we'll buy it. If you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596 or check us out online at teamlally.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Attilio. This is the art part of the show, ART, Attilio's Random Thoughts. And as I always give the disclaimer, it's not really a random thought. It's just something I have thought about and wanted to share with our listeners. So if you didn't already know, I am Hawaiian. And what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. What does that mean, Attilio? Why are you sharing with us today in today's message that you are Hawaiian? Because I want to talk to you about Mauna Kea. Now, a lot of times when people say, hey, I'm Hawaiian, or if I've actually asked quite a few people this question, you know, what are your thoughts on Mauna Kea? And a lot of people will say, well, obviously, if I was Hawaiian, I would support it. Not necessarily so. There are Hawaiians that do not support Mauna Kea and are pro-TMT. And for those of you like, what is all of this you're talking about? It's Mauna Kea on the Big Island, the proposed 30-meter telescope, a couple billion dollars, five-acre campus, I think 18 stories tall. Is already set in place. They've done all the right things, permits and paperwork to have that built on Mauna Kea. A little bit of challenge there. Is that it's considered a sacred area by Native Hawaiians, non-Hawaiians, people all around the world. And so you've got two sides of an issue that are creating the dichotomy of public opinion, personal opinion, political opinion, all kind of opinions. And it's either one or the other. And so, you know, if you and people are saying, well, Attilio, you're Hawaiian, you got on this radio show, obviously you're going to be pro Mauna Kea, which I am and I will be. And I, you know, and are you going to give equal airtime to someone that might be pro TMT? I would say, no. You know, what the TMT person would need to do is go get their own radio show and then they can talk about what they want to talk about. But when you have your radio show, you talk about what you want to talk about. But I want to do it from not just banging you over the head with a hammer on my concepts. I just want to leave you with this. And Pua Case is one of the spokespersons that if you go on a podcast called Offshore, 6-episode series, 1 hour long, they spent months researching it. They report both sides of the issue. The only reason I'm bringing it to the forefront of our thoughts now is that it's there's some big different changes going on. Governor has spoken about removing the law enforcement up there, wanting to open up the road and allow you know, all individuals, pro or not pro, to be able to access Mauna Kea, and then there's the protectors that are there. So, just like I've talked about on the last show, all I'm saying is that if you're on one side of an issue or the other, please do not have such a rigid stance of what side you're on unless you've done a ton of research. Because I think people, when we get on one side or other of an issue, they get dug in, but you start asking them some detailed questions about their issue or the other side, you kind of find that they really don't know much. So listen to that podcast, go online. The best way to understand what's going on in a situation, Adrienne, is what? What would be the best way to understand what's going on up there?
I would say to go up there.
To go visit.
And to see for yourself. And ask questions.
Yeah. Now, unlike, say, something like the Civil War or the Civil Rights Movement or Martin Luther's King's speech, I Have a Dream speech, you obviously can't go back in time to experience those things. You're going to have to do, you know, secondhand research. But you have a unique opportunity in Hawaii's history to actually be involved and see this stuff firsthand. So before we bring on our awesome person, Duke, with Hawaii Pacific Property Management, I'm going to leave you with this quote from Pua Case. The earth is being threatened in all our backyards. So I cannot help but stand, because if I don't stand, the earth will die and so will I. Anyway, so you see, we've come to a point where you literally have no choice. But in that awakening, this is the beauty of it. You have never felt more alive. So, you know, in that one quote, are you going to understand either side of this issue? No. I'm just trying to inspire you and motivate you. If you do want to have an opinion one way or another, go do the research. Speaking of doing the research.
And of being inspired and motivation, we have a career night coming up.
Okay.
So 2019 is winding down, and 2020 is going to be starting here.
Yeah.
So it's time to plan for your next career. We have a career night coming up on January 6th from 5 to 6 p.m. at our office here there in Kapolei. So make sure to go and check it out. It's HawaiiCareerNight.com, and you can RSVP.
Yeah, so
save
just
your seats.
Go to that website, HawaiiCareerNight.com. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't RSVP, come anyway. We'll make space for you. Will we make space for them?
Of course.
All right. So, do we got Duke coming up or something else?
We have Duke on the line.
Okay.
And hopefully he'll be there at the career night to answer questions about what it's like to be a property manager.
Yeah. So, hey, Duke, what you got for us this week?
Hello.
Oh. Ah, you're there.
Hi, Duke.
I thought you were.
Oh, am I on now?
You're on now. I thought you was being the strong, silent type.
You know, I know that the last time, was it a couple days ago when you guys recorded, that you had some technical difficulties.
We worked it all out, so it's all good. What you got for us this week?
Well, hello. Well, you know, my tip of the month's going to be really simple. There's only a couple of reasons why someone would hire a property manager.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me that some of the people call other property managers, and we're the first one to answer the phone. So that's important.
And I think that ties into your communication guarantee.
Yep. We have guarantees for everything we do. But, you know, for a homeowner, I just try to make sure they understand that their primary home now will become an investment property.
Yes.
So that is going to initiate all kinds of changes in your insurance policy, how you look at the home, mm-hmm. how you treat the home, and that this should be something that a property manager you hire should protect.
Yes.
So that's reason number one. Somebody needs to protect your home when you're not there.
So wait a second.
The second reason is your investment property. So it needs to make money. So those are the only two reasons I can see that you would leave a house for a property manager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do both of those things.
Yeah.
How we protect your home is we do frequent walkthroughs, and that initiates a lot of checking on mm-hmm. our part, to make sure that the tenants know that we are going to check up on them. Also, we hold them to the lease agreement, make sure that only the certain amount of people live in the home and that they're taking care of the home.
Gotcha.
So protecting your home is to do walkthroughs, to do frequent checks, to do regular maintenance repair on the house. When the tenants call, we call the owners to make sure that they're okay with replacing a faucet, paying for a plumber to go out there, making sure their washing machine is always in good shape.
Yeah.
Those things are super important to us.
You know, Duke,
you have your three guarantees to the homeowner: rent guarantee, an eviction guarantee, and a communication guarantee. Someone's always answering our phone, so you can always reach us. You always have the owner's number. That's me. Mm-hmm. I answer the phone 24/7.
All right.
So there's no other reason to look for another property manager before you check with Hawaii Pacific Property Management. Because there are places on the island we cannot manage just because we can't get to it. Our service vehicles can't get there, and we can't access it all the time. So the areas that we do not manage is mostly on the North Shore. Very, very difficult to get to.
Do you guys manage vacation rentals? And what's your opinion on what's going on there?
Compound question, leading the witness.
Lot of vacation rental business out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill 87 took care of that for us.
Gotcha.
So what are you seeing though, like on from the long-term rental side, what have you seen been like that has shaken out from that
to 30 day plus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
long-term, which is 6 months, 181 days plus.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much the bulk of our business. We do have a few rentals in there. Furnished rentals are a tough thing to rent, too. I just want to make sure everybody understands, when you leave a furnished house and your tenant has furniture, then what does a property manager do?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and then Duke, the one last thing I noticed you had mentioned it before is that homeowners that have lived in the home and are converting it into a rental, that behavior patterns of the tenants are going to be different from the homeowners. And I know you'd mentioned, like, they call you up and like, the dishwasher went break. And you're like, how come the dishwasher was working all the time we had them? Because you hardly use the dishwasher, and then maybe the tenants are using it every day. So be prepared for things like that. Yeah. All right. So that was Duke. If you have any questions or want to get a hold of his team, what's a good number for her, for them?
You can call him at 445-9223. You can also find him online at hipacificpm.com.
Yeah. And next up we have, I think it's Janice Merlin.
We've got Jody on the line.
Yeah, it's Jody.
The mortgage,
exactly.
The mortgage genius. The wrong J.
No, sometimes like, Jody, your middle name is Janice?
No.
No, it's not. That's no. Janice, our other guest. But we've got Jody on the line. Jody, what you got for us this week?
Hi, you guys are sounding a little soft. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about job changes.
Yeah.
Because I think that for a lot of people, it's just not something that would be top of mind. But I know there's a lot of movement happening, especially because our unemployment rates are so low.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. If you have someone that was working a job that had overtime, so he consistently worked overtime, but then he got a new job and he is also consistently working overtime, but it's not the exact same field of work, but it's higher pay and the same amount of overtime. Do you think for loan qualifying purposes that I can use their overtime?
I have a 50-50 chance of getting the right answer, right? Because it's either yes or no. I would say no.
Yeah. And you're right. And there are certain ways that we can be creative with that, showing that you do have a history of overtime, but really when you leave your historic like thumbprint of where you've been for the past 2 years, and that's our threshold, 2 years, and you start somewhere new, there really is no guarantee that your overtime is going to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the reality of a situation. Like, you may make negotiations and say, hey, I like working more. I count on that portion of income to work more. Can you tell me that you're going to for sure give it to me? And they may say, like, yes, it's highly likely that we will be able to accommodate you in that regard. But the reality is that it's not a guarantee. And that is how an underwriter will look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got to look at
the bonuses and commission.
Yeah. And you gotta know that the underwriter, they're doing good on both sides. They're making sure that you have the capability to make those mortgage payments long term, and they're making sure that they're writing a good loan for the people that are putting the money out.
Right.
So.
And the same goes for bonus and commission.
Yeah.
So I have someone who left. It's the best example I have, but he left Nissan to go to Mercedes. And he keeps telling me how it's like a huge upgrade for him and he's going to be making way more money.
Yeah.
But there's no history. There's no proof. And you just left your job that you've been at for the past 5 years that does have a history of your commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so for someone that knows that they are wanting to purchase and you do have that component of your income, which would be overtime or bonus or commission, I would definitely want you to reach out to your trusted lender to talk about it before making any sort of a job change, because it's almost like a 2-year restart.
Yeah.
So Jody, I thought that when, at least if you stay in the same industry, that income could be counted.
Yeah, it's not always the case. Not with overtime and bonus and commission. Like, if you stay in the same industry and you just left, it's not going to impact the loan based on your hourly pay at your guaranteed hours. Like, that's fine. So if you're a construction worker or even a nurse or anything that's paid hourly, and then you move and you have a guaranteed like 40 hours a week, or even if you are guaranteed 50 hours a week, we can give you that income.
Yeah.
But it's that overtime and bonus and commission that, unless it's guaranteed in writing, which even though I have talked to bosses that have told me over the phone, like, I can guarantee you he's never going to work less than 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, awesome. That's perfect, because that's what Mr. Jones is telling me. So all I need is for it to be in writing. Oh, I can't do that. Hmm. I can't put it in writing.
So if I get my boss, I've been a realtor for 13 years, and I get my boss to bring me on paper that says, oh, Tilly gonna make this money every year. Garands. Like, literally wrote Garands at the bottom. We're good.
So that's a little
It's gonna
different.
Be in writing. Gonna be in writing, Garands. No.
That's a total another conversation, because that's your self-employed.
Yeah.
She's so talking about totally the bonuses, different. Commissions, and overtime.
But Garands. No, okay. Yeah, we understand. All right.
Thank you, Jody.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too. All right, so you can get a hold of Jody and her team at 488-5510. Check her out online at packrimmtg.com.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Yes, we're going to take a break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with the entertainer and comedian, Pepper Lamb. He'll talk to us about how the comedy community has changed and where it's headed. So stay with us.
If you're looking for an outstanding insurance agent that will personally help you during the moment of truth, we recommend Bradley Maruyama with Allstate Insurance.
So, Attilio, what do you mean by the moment of truth?
Well, the best insurance is the insurance you never have to use. But we know that's not how life works. So when life happens, you can count on Bradley and his team to exceed your expectations for your insurance needs.
Keep in mind that when buying a home, the cost of home insurance should be taken into consideration. I trust Bradley with my own personal home, so you should give him a call. Call Bradley with Allstate Insurance at 591-801.
Hey, it's your friend Sean Hannity, and as you know, I am not afraid to be honest and say exactly what I feel. When it comes to selling your home, you need to know there are real estate agents out there that just rely on yard signs, well, and a few hundred dollars of marketing. Now, I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you about a team of real estate agents whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi of Team Lally Real Estate Group of Keller Williams, Honolulu. Now, Adrian and Attilio spend thousands of dollars every month and attract hundreds of buyers every week. Now, because of that, if they can't sell your home at a price and deadline that you agree to, they will buy your home. Real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Team Lally in Hawaii. And if I needed to sell a home in Hawaii, well, I would call Team Lally. Call Team Lally now at 799-9596. Online at 808GuaranteedSale.com. That's 808GuaranteedSale.com. And consider your home sold.
Aloha to my friends in Hawaii. It's Colin Cowherd. Look, I've interviewed some great coaches and encountered brilliant strategists that are five steps ahead of everybody else. I've also invested in real estate all over the country. I've lived in eight states. When it comes to selling your home in Hawaii, you have a brilliant real estate team in Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi of Team Lally with Keller Williams. They attract so many buyers locally, nationally, and internationally, they can either make an immediate cash offer on your home or sell it at a price and deadline you agree to, and they'll buy it. Their marketing plan on a completely different level. That's Team Lally. They've outsold every agent in Hawaii year after year. Check out why national real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Team Lally in Hawaii, as well as national news talk host Sean Hannity. That's why I trust him. Write the number down, 799-9596, or go online to 808GuaranteedSale.com, 808GuaranteedSale.com, and start packing.
Hi, I'm Barbara Corcoran. To sell your home on time for the most money, you need a sharp agent with a marketing strategy that creates the most demand. Bottom line, you need a partner willing to put their own money on the line for you. In Hawaii, I would hire Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi. Their marketing strategy is so effective that if your home doesn't sell on terms you agree to, Team Lally will buy it. Partner with the team I trust. Go online or call and get your home sold.
The Team Lally Real Estate Show continues. Give it to me, I'm a-
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, where we'll buy it. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Attilio.
And if you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596 or check us out online at teamlally.com.
All right, so our guest today is from Cincinnati, Ohio, went to college at Northern Arizona University. He started in the entertainment industry as a creative outlet and a hobby. Other hobbies include powerlifting, golf, and cigars.
He's here today to talk about how the comedy community has changed over the years and where it's headed. Please welcome our guest, entertainer, MC, and comedian, Pepper Lamb.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
AKA, what is it, the evil genius?
Misunderstood evil genius.
Misunderstood evil genius.
Yes. Don't worry about that too much for all the all these super... Super
cerebral types or something? Overthinkers?
The overthinkers, yes. I'm in the process of rebranding. we're trying to get away from the evil part to stay away from, you know.
Just genius. Well,
some people.
How about just genius?
Just calling it a comedy genius. But I was thinking misunderstood evil genius. I was thinking like maybe your first gig was a room full of Koreans. They're like, we don't understand him. That joke was not funny.
Yeah.
It would have been funny.
Actually, my first gig was in a room full of comics.
A room full of comics.
And I actually made, they're like, who's this guy? And most of the time, when you get somebody randomly up for their first time, you're just like, oh, they're going to suck. And they were like, this guy didn't suck.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's
I think it's because I started as an old man.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Not technically an old man, but
So when did you start?
I started at 35.
35.
Most comics start around, you know, in their late teens or early 20s, that kind of thing.
I think you need some life history to talk about because
exactly.
You don't see no 12-year-olds filling stadiums.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in the seats,
yeah,
but not at the stage.
So life happened enough.
Life happened a lot enough.
You had good material
yes,
by that point.
I had a lot of material.
Life is
going good right now, so I'm kind of going to have to make up something.
Well, you know, local style, we like to get to know the person a little bit. You know, we talked about your intro. Your history and your intro, and you tell us a little bit so far. From Hawaii, well, no, I just read the intro.
He's from Ohio.
Ohio.
O-H-I-O. Ohio State Buckeyes. They're going to win national championship. Just sliding that in there.
There you go. You got to speak it.
Anybody wondering?
How did you
he knows.
Yes.
How did you go from Ohio to Ohio gozaimasu, which means coming to Hawaii?
But now we're in Japan, but whatever.
People come to Hawaii, they're like, man, there's a lot of Asian people here.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see so many Asians. Yeah,
actually, they say Orientals.
Orientals.
Which is just like, we're not rugs.
Yeah.
Down. I went to, actually finished high school and went to college in Arizona. And actually in high school is where I met my Hanai brother. His family's from here.
Okay.
And his dad was military. His mom's from Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
And after college, we all, you know, we're just living life and doing things, and everybody needed a little bit of change. And he was like, I'm going to my home state of Hawaii. And I was like, all right, cool. We'll see you in a couple of years. Come on back. And he never came back. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take a vacation. He's like, yeah, come on out, take a vacation. So I came out here on vacation, visited him, and I'm still here on vacation 13 years later.
13. So you're like OG Airbnb. Mm-hmm.
You were I was like, I'm going to crash on your couch until we get a bigger spot. We were young and bachelors and enjoying life back then, but
and here you are,
and here we are
in Hawaii. Yep.
And then
how did you get into this comedy and entertainment industry?
It was a woman's fault.
Okay,
just plain and simple. Bad breakup. I needed a creative outlet.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And it was just like, oh, you've always been an outgoing guy, and you know, when Halloween comes around, you get into character. Like, I get fully into character and just roll with it. So my comedy journey actually started on YouTube.
Yeah.
Back when YouTube was a fledgling, I started a little football show on there.
Okay.
And then did a whole bunch of little skits, and that's where the Evil Genius Network came from, because my style was always to think about something silly, or actually to think about something smart and intelligent, but delivered in a silly way. Mm-hmm. So that's where the evil genius came from.
And you know what I really appreciate about that is that it can even be silly and fun for the whole family.
Yo, yes.
And
I've seen comedy.
And I've seen you do it over and over, and I've brought my children to watch you, and I felt like, okay, like, this is appropriate.
Yep, and that's where a part of a little bit of the rebranding has come on. I've gotten a little seasoned and doing entertainment 7 years, so we still have, you know, the Evil Genius Network kind of when I do something crazy, but the main brand is Pepper Lamb Comedy, and that one you can bring your kids
Pepperland Comedy.
.com.
The misunderstood optimist. Uh-huh. We call you the misunderstood optimist. I'll go back to that beginning because you said it was a breakup.
Yep.
So, like, what, you got an internet survey and they said, have you just broken up and had a hard time with it? Yes. Would you like to go to therapy or would you like to do comedy? And you went, comedy.
Yeah. You know, it started as a buddy of mine who I worked with. He was working on his second book.
Okay.
And he was making a video for some folks in New York to try and get publishing for his second book. And he's like, yo, my man, he's this, he looked like he would be a guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
That, you know, big burly guy, beard, that whole deal.
He has his signature on his neck.
Yeah, yeah, the tattoos everywhere. And he's just like, hey, man, whenever we have discussions, I know we come from different walks of life, but you always tend to have a perspective that's like real awesome, and I appreciate that. This whole video is about your inner conscience. And I think it'd be awesome if we made a funny video with you as my inner conscience.
There you go.
So we're in the two opposite looking people.
And I'm on the main screen and you're in the small circle down in the right.
Well, basically, I was like, well, you want to win the thing? He was like, yeah, I want to win the thing. I was like, okay, so we're going to step it up a notch. So I came in as his inner conscience, but I was also Mr. T.
Gotcha.
So he would wait. We got a bunch of YouTube hits on this one. So he would come in and be like, hey, you know what? I'm a published author. I'm doing great in life. I feel good. Today's going to be a great day. And then I would pop in. Shut up, fool. You suck. Get out of here. You're horrible. I pity the fool, anybody who would want to hang out with you. And it was absolutely hilarious, like a 2-minute video where everything was going positive for him. And then Mr. T would just come and hate on him.
Yeah. And you were dressed up like Mr. T?
I was full on Mr. T.
In character.
In character, in the deal.
Nice.
And you can do a part 2 dream sequence.
Yeah.
Come back in the dream sequence.
Yeah. So after that, you know, that's where the YouTube channel came in. I was like, hey, this was very therapeutic.
Yes.
Like, I feel writing is very therapeutic, whether you're writing something serious or writing just to create and be silly and just let it loose. So,
well, they do say journaling is paper therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you write things down.
Yep. So,
and stuff like that. So I was talking to you, you know, and kind of teeing it up for you on a question I was going to ask you, and let's go into that. You know, a lot of people, we have all kind of different people on this show. We call it educating and entertaining at the same time. What's that called, Adrian?
It's edutainment.
Edutainment. Nothing wrong with that. Nope.
So we talked about it. There's the comedy business, and then there's the business of comedy. Mm-hmm. The comedy business, as you as an artist, how do you go out there and do this where you're just not doing open mics and getting drunk every Wednesday? Mm-hmm. And then the business of comedy is like you're actually, we've come to a couple of your events that you've promoted. Excellent lineup, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah. And very well organized.
Very well organized.
And promoted.
Very entertaining.
Yes.
So let's speak to the first one. You're an entertainer. What do you suggest is that path of travel for success?
The path of travel for success I feel for anything is to figure out what your passion in life is.
Okay.
And from there, then you figure out how to monetize it.
Yeah.
So for me, like I said, comedy came in as a therapy weapon for me. And then after having fun with it for about a year or two, I realized, hey, one, I want to get better at this. How do I get better at this? Use my regular business acumen, start running my own show, create my own room. Yes. That gives me more time. That gives me more stage time to get better at the craft.
Well, you're the one promoting it, so you know you're going to book yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the keys, though, is that sometimes you have to know when to go sit down.
Gotcha.
like some, like you can't headline every show that you want to promote and that kind of deal.
Yeah.
You, like you said, I always want to put a quality product out there. Yeah. I always want to make sure it's a well-rounded show and that there's something for everybody there.
Yes.
Like if you have a show that's all to one, towards one demographic, then it's going to get stale real quick, and it's not going to be entertaining for everybody.
Yeah.
And you're not going to sell as many tickets because you can't branch and reach out to that many folks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen you do some interesting crowd work.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're known for. It's yeah. just off the cuff.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times here, Hawaii is a different market. I've traveled all around America and done shows on the mainland and all different types of different.
So tell us more about that. How's it different?
It's different because you never know what you're going to walk into here.
Very eclectic audience.
Yes. You don't know if it's going to be the local whole bras, you know, all your uncles Attilio.
Or, you don't know if it's going to be like, yeah. it's going to be Chee-Hoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Yahoo.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could just be a full-on country audience. It could be a military crew. It could be tourists from Japan that don't really understand what's happening.
I think I witnessed you had like a whole big group of doctors.
Yeah. Yes.
That was interesting.
So
and then,
Koreans. Yeah. I like to do crowd work to make everybody feel involved into yeah. the show.
Yeah.
So, but when you do bigger shows, it's hard to do crowd work. So you yes. got to have planned material and, mm-hmm. and that kind of deal. So
talk about the nuts and bolts. You know, people think, you know, it's, you know, get five beers in you and then go get in front of a mic and then you make people laugh. That is complete opposite myth.
I've done
that, right?
And it's horrible. It's horrible. I did a show in Vegas at the end of like a run of like 5 days.
Yeah.
And I was with my fraternity brothers and we were lit. And I grabbed the mic and should not have grabbed yeah. the mic. It's there are comics that do that. And that's one of the things,
between, right?
They're very far and few between. That's yeah. one of the reasons why I'm glad I got into this as a full grown man and not in my younger days.
Yep.
It would have been a whole lot of crash and burn and too much partying off of the thing. But everything in moderation. Like for me personally, I can have one whiskey, maybe two. But after that, I'm good until the performance is over. I don't want to.
I don't want to
loosen up.
Well, before I did an open mic night, and so I said, you know, what do we do nowadays? We Google it.
Yeah.
What are some tips for doing an open mic night? And I'm going to guess that these are the kind of, well, there was no particular order of importance, but one of them was five things that the lady talked about. One of them, don't get wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't get wasted. You know, so that was just one example. For you as a professional comedian, because you know, and I define professional, and let me know if that's the same definition. You get paid to do it. You've gotten paid to do comedy.
Yes.
Yes.
I've gotten paid to do comedy.
Yeah.
I don't define that as just what makes you professional.
Okay.
Though. For me.
But you moved out of the amateur world, though.
I've moved out of the amateur world.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call myself a full-time professional comic.
Yes.
Those guys only get paid, their main income is from them
yes.
jumping on the stage.
It's not your one thing writing. Yet.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not your one thing yet.
Exactly. You have to grow to that. Everyone's just like, oh, this guy
somewhere.
Came out of nowhere. People don't realize Kevin Hart was doing it for 20 years before he became mainstream at all.
A lot of the big guys,
a lot of these guys are just like, I mean, it's a little easier now with your social media stuff. People can become a little bit more in your face and more famous
yeah.
right off the bat. But what I would say to anybody that's looking to get into comedy beyond
yeah.
the Googling the first steps is to, one, like you said, don't get wasted. And two, don't think about your inner circle. Think about everyone else.
Okay.
Because everybody's funny to their own crew.
Yes.
Everyone's funny in their own household.
Around the office.
They're all their own
friends. At the water cooler.
Yes, yes. But I can tell you 95% of those people that are hilarious to their crew cannot get up on stage and make a stranger laugh.
Yes.
So when you're thinking about writing jokes and coming up with material, think outside of your circle.
Yeah.
Is the main deal. So,
okay, so have a broader appeal. And then what else?
Yes.
Anything else?
I would say don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
And you're going to suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. just go ahead and just realize, hey, I am going to be horrible the first few times doing this.
Yeah. As Brene Brown says, embrace the suck.
Yes.
Embrace the suck. What are your thoughts on this? Speaking of Brene Brown, like she's obviously top of her game for what she does. If you don't know who she is, you guys should go and watch her Netflix special, listen to her podcast with Oprah, and watch her TED Talk. It's literally the number two most viewed TED Talk on the planet, probably 47 million views by now. Oh. But her big thing when she's speaking, and it's a performance, it's educating, is she likes the house lights up where she can see the audience and make eye contact. What's your thoughts on that? Because I know that, like some venues, that's why you don't see anybody.
I honestly like more intimate shows because of that and because of the crowd work aspect. Like the whole thing with when you're up there alone, it's the only art form where you're waiting for the audience reaction to confirm that you're doing all right in an instant.
Yeah.
So you need
feedback is
your feedback needs
instantaneous.
To be exactly, and you need it to continue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I was on a big stage. I was about 6 months into comedy, in over my head, but I'm at the Blaisdell Theater, and it was a very outer body experience. But I told my first joke, and I heard the laugh. And I literally just felt like I was behind myself listening to the audience laugh.
Yeah.
So I just had to just keep going. Mm-hmm. It was like I had 7 minutes to keep going. And at the time, I only think I had maybe 15 minutes total. So the 7 minutes that was good was right there for the audience. I didn't have anything else. So it's
was it a good performance
for you? It was a great performance for me.
It was a great performance. So what you're describing, and a lot of people talk about it, they call it the it's called flow.
Yes.
Flow. And it's just a state of mind where literally you are, it's really deep in a subconscious level. You're just going with it. You're not like in your head looking at a piece of paper with your joke on it.
Yeah.
It's just going.
It's just in there.
And you're in sync with the audience.
Yep. I found that actually easier than some of the shows I do now.
Yeah.
Was because like now I get a little convoluted. Okay, are they listening? Are they paying attention to this? Oh, should I switch this up for here and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or at that time, that's all I had. So this is all they were getting.
So you just had to go with it.
Yeah.
You're in the moment.
Yeah. And it worked. So.
So you've done some big venues.
And, yes.
You know, what are some of the big names you've had the opportunity to open up for?
I got to work with Hannibal Buress. That was a personal favorite of mine. He's top 10 for me as far as comics in that. Then I also got to work with Dennis Miller, who is on Time Magazine's top 10 comedic writers of all time.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And after working with him and seeing him live, even though I don't necessarily roll with him on his political views, just the joke structure and the writing, you could see where the work was put in and why he was tops for so long and did so much writing for so many great things.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of comedy. Like you said, by the way, in your intro, it said cigars is your hobby.
Cigars is one of my hobbies, yes.
Is vaping like the next level, or is that a step up to the cigar?
I don't
think. Or is it sideways?
They're not even
in the same category. Can vaping be a hobby?
Vaping. Actually, there's a lot of guys that take vaping as a hobby. They sit in a room smelling like bubble gum, but right.
I got mango papaya in mine. Yeah, what you got in yours?
Yeah, you can't look hard. Trying to be like, yeah, we tough over here. It's like, man,
can't go hard with a jewel.
Yeah, that's papaya. Shut up.
Yeah.
No. I don't vape. I'm not interested in vaping. I don't suggest people vape. Not just for the teenage scares or whatnot. Is because it's too new.
Yeah.
Like
they haven't done the studies yet.
Yeah, exactly. And, you need 10 to 15 years of how putting water vapor in your lungs is gonna mess with you.
Well, and then to segue on it, I'm one of them weirdos that watches a lot of documentaries. Smoking, the message has gotten out. So high school kids smoking dropped all the way down to like 8-9%.
Yeah.
Vaping came in because of the technology that's involved and all of that. It now jumped all the way up to like 40% of the kids.
Yeah.
Even my old alma mater, I was talking with my niece the other day, and they kicked a whole pile of kids out for vaping because they're just putting the line in the sand up at commitment schools. But back to the comedy, I think people have a misperception that people are just naturally funny And some are, and you're just going on the stage, and it's a random conversation. Talk about the setup, the preparation.
You got to prep. You have to take a joke from beginning to end. And what my process is, I'll think about something in everyday life that I'll just naturally laugh at.
Yeah.
And I'll say, okay, how can I take that to the stage?
Yeah.
Some things do not work to the stage at all. It's just like, it's kind of, you know, oh man, you had to be there. That's what a lot of life is. And a lot of people try to force that you got to be there moment on the stage, and it doesn't work. And that's where a lot of comics fall off. It's like, no, you have to paint a picture for the audience.
Because you're like, in the moment, that was funny to me.
Exactly.
And then you went on the stage and went, bomb.
Yeah.
And then what about those moments that, like, are not really good memories, but then you look back and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like,
absolutely, yes. There's a lot of times when you look at a joke from beginning to end and you perform it, and once you get good enough at it, you can predict where the laugh is supposed to be.
Yes.
But sometimes when you're trying out new things, and this is where you have to get the repetition in and the practice in. And the testing, because sometimes what you think is going to be the funny part, everybody's laughing at something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh. That part was funny to y'all?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And that's why I tell a lot of new comics all the time, year 7, I'm into this. I record everything.
Gotcha.
Everything I do up there on stage is recorded either in voice format or in video format.
Or both.
And I sit there like I was still playing college ball and go study that film.
You gotta watch the tapes.
Yeah. Gotta watch the tapes.
So Pepper, how does like your body language and the facial expressions, how does that tie into the delivery?
It complements or accentuates, right?
Hugely. I went a couple years ago, I went and joined musical theater just to work on that.
Nice.
Just plain and simple. Different walks. I mm-hmm. work with improv groups. I work with all types of things. And that's one of the things is where filming comes in as well, because it's just like, hey, you may say this joke 20 times, but when you look at your movement and how you express yourself, because your body has a language itself. And if your body doesn't match the language of what you're portraying, the audience will receive it different.
Yes.
Just plain and simple. So I learned a lot of that from theater and just going out there and just trying different things.
I think what people don't realize too is that you guys are artists, like an athlete, where there's, you know, Michael Jordan didn't just show up on the court in the NBA. He was shot a million free throws.
Exactly.
And you guys are practicing, getting feedback. And if you're, so I think that's how I would define it as a professional, where you're videotaping, you're preparing, you're practicing, exactly. You're testing jokes out.
Yep, that's what takes you to the next level. What I consider what takes you on the professional level is when you're getting featured on a regular basis by even small shows, and when people who are full-time professionals call you and are just like, yeah, I want you to open up for me at this show, or I want your talent is good enough to supersede my talent and to get my audience warmed up for me.
Yeah.
So I think that's what separates amateurs from pros is it's a mental state of, hey, I'm going to take this to the next level. I'm taking this seriously. Like you said, I'm not just on Wednesday night going and getting drunk and hanging out, trying to get chicks.
By the way, I tell you, I've done the enough of the open mic nights. They're horrible because even if you are good, this is the pros of the good guys win, then the not so good guys.
Yeah.
And then it's like open mic. People are like talking.
Yeah.
A third of the room gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have that much high self-esteem because you're brand new at it.
And I don't want to harp on Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I've been here for 13 years. I'll be here for at least 7 or 8 more. That's what I have left on my sentence.
Okay.
So,
your time with us.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll always be tied to Hawaii. It's not a comedy town.
Yeah.
There's no true comedy club here.
Yep.
And on the regular, people just they want to come out and see the guy that they saw on Netflix or the HBO special.
Yeah.
And they have to realize that, hey, we all start somewhere.
Yeah.
And we got to work our way up to it. But as far as the direction of comedy in the
There's
island,
an opportunity there.
There's a major opportunity.
Because I've seen, you know,
there.
Local style, you know, Andy Bumatai, Rapper Bringer, Yep. All those people from back in the day, Frank de Lima.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Augie T, all those.
I was my 12-year-old was like, you know, I was showing him room service from Rap Ripinger, and what was his other one? Oh, Auntie Maria Lani's cooking show.
Yeah.
Not too sweet, not too rancid, but mm-hmm. just right. And those are like TV specials. Yep. There was, what was the comedy club back then? The Noodle Shop or something like that.
Yeah.
It was.
Before my time.
Just before you came. But what I'm saying is it came and then it all faded away. So yep. right now is wide open opportunity.
Exactly. There's way more people on the island.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop. You guys know in the real estate, mm-hmm. people come and go all the time. So there's a real void in the market. My prediction is that within the next year to 2 years, there will be a full-time comedy club on the island.
Yeah,
and it'll help.
So like in the meantime, though, where could our listeners come out and check
the
you out?
The baby steps.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
the baby
where
steps,
can they come
yes.
and hear some of your stand-up comedy?
Oh, you can catch me on all social media platforms under Pepper Lamb Comedy.
Pepper Lamb.
Yep. And that was part of the rebranding to get everything across the board the same. Instagram, Pepper Lamb Comedy.
You know, right?
Facebook, Pepper Lamb Comedy.
And I'll pause you there real quick. That is a marketing tip no matter what you are in business. We're always talking about business tips for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You got to get consistent with your branding.
Exactly.
So you have Pepper Lamb Comedy
across the board, except for Snapchat, because I have things to do in life. I'm just not, I'm not 17.
No.
I don't.
No, but like if our listeners want to catch this Mr. T skit that you did, they could find it on YouTube.
They would have to go on YouTube. I have two YouTube channels on there. The Pepper Lamb Comedy is the clean one.
Yes.
The nice and... Nice
family,
one, family-friendly one.
Got the warning.
But if you want the rowdy stuff, you can go to Evil Genius Network. That's still the thing.
Okay. But Pepper, is it pepperlandcomedy.com or pepperlamb.com?
No, pepperlamcomedy. L-A-M-B. Yep.
Do you have the domain name .com?
Yep.
Yes,
okay,
he does.
Pepperlandcomedy.com. Is there another Pepper Lamb out there?
No. He's the only one.
No, I'm it.
Do you have Pepper Lamb?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I've but bought either way, several it'll get domains. There. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. So with the name Pepper, that's pretty unique.
Exactly.
What's the story?
Is that your stage name?
That is my stage name.
Okay.
That is my stage
name. You should say that's my MMA name.
Yeah.
so how did you come up with the stage name?
I was actually born with the last name Culpepper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was my mom's married name.
Culpepper.
And before I had kids and the whole family deal, I didn't want her married name. I wanted Lamb as my family name to be passed on.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So I officially went through the paperwork and did everything and had to climb some trees and dig some ditches back in Ohio to get all my good stuff. And I officially changed my name to Lamb. But after, you know, so many years of just being known as Pepper, everyone just called me Pepper since high school, that I was like, let's just keep this as a stage name.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
So, and then talk about the gigs coming up. I said you got something on the second?
Gigs coming up, yes. We'll be at the Blue Note with Gary Owen from BET Comic View. He's got a Showtime special out right now as well. And he's been in a bunch of movies. He's been in several Kevin Hart movies. He's that one random white guy that hangs out with black people all the time.
Yes.
And you'd be like, oh, I saw him on the, oh, that's the, yeah.
He's got rhythm and a funny bone.
Yes. So I'll be at the Blue Note with him on January 2nd. And then on the 4th, we're still crossing the dots and crossing the T's and dotting the I's on Hawaii Theater, Patton Oswalt.
Oh, wow.
So
big venue.
Even if you don't see me, go to Hawaii Theater. And there's great comedy here all the time.
Yeah.
It's probably
just sprinkled
about,
all over the place.
Yep. Exactly.
Not in one concentrated
spot. And we
spot.
See you often exactly. at Hawaiian Brian's.
At Hawaiian Brian's, yes.
There.
We do a monthly show.
I have a question Brian's. For you, though.
Yep.
Is he Hawaiian?
Who?
Brian.
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 From Hawaiian Brian. Or is that just the name?
That's just the name.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, no, Lee.
Hawaiian Brian.
Lee and Glenn. Glenn might have some Hawaiian blood in him.
It just rhymes.
I know they're local Asian for sure, but I don't know what
it was all
what's sprinkled in there. Yeah.
Yeah. The local. So he's a Japanese guy. Every time they see him, they're like, oh, what's up, Hawaiian? Yeah. And then he's like, well, my name's Brian. Oh, what's up, Hawaiian Brian? So
pretty much. Pretty much.
What else, Adrian?
So, okay, so we talked about the websites, the social media, shows coming up. Yeah, if there's anything else that we didn't cover,
any kind of
funny stories that you'd like to share with our listeners before
One quick one. I highly recommend, Pepper, if you guys are coming up into the holidays and you need to jazz up that team meeting, that end-of-the-year meeting, or any of those meetings throughout the year, Pepper would be excellent for any kind of corporate or company-type events.
Yeah.
Or to MC.
Yes, I MC musical events. I MC weddings, host all types of different types of things. So
what about bus stops? You do bus stops?
If you pay me enough, I can hang out on the bus stop. And
what about Hotel Street? You just go to Hotel Street, all those millennials running from bar to bar.
Yeah, I try to stay clear there.
I swear, they'll start fighting with each other. It's like MMA on Hotel Street.
It does. It's on First Fridays.
You can't contain their anger.
First Fridays changed. First Fridays, just, like when I first moved here, they used to block off the street.
Yeah.
And you would go down there. It was Art District, and you'd check out the stuff, and you'd have to drink wine to get ladies and do the whole deal. And now it's just everyone comes out at 10 o'clock and rages.
You get all super pissed off and right before last call.
Yeah, waiting for their Uber.
So is there anything else that our listeners might want to know about you or the comedy or anything that we haven't addressed during our time together today?
Anything you guys want to know? Just, you guys have seen me a whole bunch of different times.
Yes.
And we've addressed all types of personal stuff and crazy stuff on stage.
I love it.
Any little weirdness that you guys, something you always wonder, any joke that you guys always wanted to wonder about, is that real or did he just make that up?
I think, you know, for us, we were like, no, nothing really. Well, you know, the one that always cracks me up is when you talk about the hard time that you get as a black person in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the thing you do?
Yes. Everyone always wonders. They just assume that I'm military. And it's like, no, I'm not military.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, so you're on vacation? No. I'm just here. Oh, so you were military and then you got out and you stayed here. No, I'm just black. Like, since Lincoln, we're allowed to go everywhere. We're allowed to just travel, get on the plane, and it's like, is it Pro Bowl weekend? I don't understand why you're here. And it's, no, I'm just black. It's okay. We're here. We're everywhere. And we love you guys.
And I want to know about the minivan. Did you really have a minivan?
I really had a minivan for a long time. I do a joke about how difficult it is to be a man and get a date when you drive a minivan. It's difficult.
Without thoughts of serial killer popping up in their minds.
No one wants to jump in your ride and go hang out.
It goes, man, minivan, body parts.
Yeah.
It's just, those are the ideas that kind of circulate
together.
Had
like the cover, right, with the juice boxes?
Yeah.
You
got to make sure the kids are good. Orange slices, juice boxes, everything. You never know when an 8-year-old soccer game is going to break out. So you just got to be prepared as a father to do what you got to do.
With the minivan.
Yes. I was keeping my options open with the minivan because with my baby seats and everything. So you got a baby? Yeah, put him in the baby seat.
Yeah. See, I'm out of the minivan now, just regular SUV.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
All right, so coming to the end of an awesome show. Thanks for having Pepper on.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening, and thank you to our sponsors.
Jody Tanga and Derek Tanga of Pacific Rim Mortgage.
Bradley Mariyama of Allstate Insurance.
Kenji Vendetta of Pillar to Post Home Inspections.
Janice Merland of Dreamhouse Drafting.
John Speed with Kilauea of Pest Control.
Duke Kim Han of Hawaii Pacific Property Management.
And Thomas Patterson of Patterson Land Surveying. If you want to get a hold of any of our sponsors, just go to teamlally.com.
We also want to give a big thank you to Leah, our producer, here in the studio.
Yahoo!
Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have an awesome guest talking about something that'll change your life
forever. This is the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the guaranteed
sold program.
We can't sell your home at the agreed upon price in our time frame. We'll have it bought for cash.
Thanks and aloha!
The preceding program was sponsored by Team Lally.